Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Before we go to prayer this evening, I would like to just mention that we're looking at the eighth blessing or promise of God that the believer receives from believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is that we believe the testimony that God gave of His Son. This will be number 54 in our series, The Doctrine of Christ, number 8 in He That Believeth miniseries. And if you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 12, we'll read from, take our text from verse 44. Jesus cried and He said, He that believeth, and remember that He again is that O with the little accent mark over it. He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. And now of course we believe that, well, let's just bow our heads in prayer before we go any further. Dear gracious Father, we've read again from Thy Word, showing that He that believeth on Me, there's a promise. And the promise is that we believe the One whom God sent. And so, Lord, we ask that You would be with us tonight as we study Thy Word. We pray that, Lord, You'd help us to receive a balance in these teachings, Lord, that we've been looking at. And we ask that You'd help us, Lord, to enter into the relationship that we see in these promises. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, notice, He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. He's not saying that you don't believe Him, but actually you're believing the One whom God sent. So you're believing the One who sent Him. All right. Now, of course, if we believe, as some do, that this speaks only of one person, then only one person, William Branham, will believe that God sent Jesus. And therefore, only one person is entitled to believe the record that God gave of His Son. Well, that's ludicrous, and you all know that. The whole world's, well, that would just throw out an entire seven church ages. What, did the people die in vain? You see? Now, wouldn't that be a terrible thing if only one person was allowed to believe the testimony or the record that God gave of His Son? But I'm so thankful that God does not limit Himself or His promises to those who hold English grammar as more of an absolute than God's own Word. And I'm thankful that God sent us a prophet who didn't even know English grammar and was not limited by it in his belief. But rather, without proper English grammar, he stood firm on the promises of God until those promises came to pass. Amen. And shouldn't we do the same? In 1 John 5 and verse 10 we read, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the witness that God gave of His Son. So notice, again, he that believeth. And he's telling us that this time, remember we read last time, Jesus said, well, you know, he that believeth on Me, well, it's not really Me you're believing on, it's the One who sent Me you're believing on. Because I can't do anything, can't say anything. Everything I do and say, the Father showed Me what to do and say. And so we find Him here then. He says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The witness in himself, not just a witness, the witness, which is God, God's Spirit Himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Well, what is that record then that God gave of His Son? Now, that's the question we're going to get to tonight. Now, this verse of Scripture has two parts to it. Part one speaks of the witness, which we found to be the Holy Spirit. And the second half of the Scripture tells us, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Now, before we get to the second part this evening, I just want to glean a few thoughts on this. And notice he says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. Again, the word hath was translated from the Greek word echo. So this verse should read, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness within himself or in himself. Now, we know there's a difference between just being a witness and being the witness. For the witness is the Holy Ghost Himself. 1 John 5 and 6 says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. If you go to the book of Romans, we can establish that in Romans 8:16. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that the important thing is not that we bear witness with God, but what he does, that he bears witness to our spirit. In Romans 8, he says, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The problem we found, and we do find, is that many people will read this verse wrong and thus try to convince themselves that in their own spirit, they are bearing witness with God's spirit. And thus, that makes them somebody or something. These are those who will not accept the sovereign position that God does what he does. And God does what he will. But rather, by taking the assumption that it is their own witness in their spirit and their choosing, they thus null and void the witness of the Spirit and the choice that is reserved for God alone. For what good is your choice if it's not God's choice? Sure. The Bible says that Esau wept bitterly seeking repentance, but there was no room for it. Couldn't find it. And what good is it that you witness in your spirit that you are what God has not made you out to be? Now, the whole text of what Paul is saying here is that it is God who bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. We can claim that God is our Father all we want to, but that won't make it true unless God claims us himself. And therefore, it matters not what witness we give of ourselves, for we can witness all we want and claim as our Father all we want, but if God does not claim us and bear witness himself that we are his children, then we are not his. End of debate. In John chapter 8, we see Jesus himself debating this very issue with the Pharisees, who claimed first to be Abraham's seed. And when Jesus showed them that Abraham had two seeds, one by flesh and the other by promise, then they denied being the one by flesh and went straight to claiming themselves to being God's seed. But Jesus didn't cut them off, or he didn't cut them any slack, and he denied that they were God's seed, even though they claimed to be. He said, "I am of God and you are not of God, but you are of your father the devil, and the devil's and the deeds of your father you will do." Now look at there we go to John 14:12 right there. He said, if your father is this, you're going to do the deeds of your father. And he's telling them, your father is Satan, the devil, so you're going to do the deeds of the devil. You see? He said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would believe me and do the works of Abraham. But because you believe me not, it shows you are of your father, the devil. And he laid it out pretty plain to them. He said, if you were of God, you would believe me, for I say nothing but what he tells me to say. And I do nothing but what he tells me to do. And I have surrendered my will to his will, my thoughts to his thoughts, my actions to his actions. And since you will not receive what he told me to tell you, then it shows you're not his seed. That's pretty plain. Now that brings us to the second part of our verse this morning. For this evening. Let's just read it as a refresher. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath, or echoes the witness, the Spirit of God himself, in himself. Now the second part. But he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record or the witness that God gave of his Son. Now this word record is the same Greek word as we read in the first half of this verse that was translated as the word witness. So we can read it this way. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, which is God's witness or testimony that God gave of his Son. Now John is telling us here that the people are making God out to be a liar because they do not believe the witness or the record or the testimony which God himself gave of his Son. So we must ask ourselves this question. How can anyone make God out to be anything other than what he is? Now, John is not saying God is a liar because the people say so, but he's saying to them, they believe God is a liar because he is not saying what they think that he should be saying concerning his Son. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. Not that God is a liar. They've made him a liar. Now, is it really possible to make God what he's not? In no way, shape, or form is it possible. Then what does John mean by this? The Amplified Version says, he that does not believe God in his testimony has made him out to be and represented him as a liar. And the Weymouth Translation says, he who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. In that he has refused to accept the testimony which God has given about his Son. Now, the first thing we must understand in reading this verse is that it says, he who does not believe God has made him a liar. Now, the fact of the matter is, the first part of this sentence speaks of those who do not believe God. If they do not believe God, then they're unbelievers, right? And how do they not believe God? Is that they do not believe what God has said concerning his Son. John calls this testimony or record or witness of God concerning his own Son. So how can they say that Jesus is his own father and say they believe God when God said he's my son? And as we read this together, he says, he who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar in that he has refused to accept the testimony which God has given about his son. They refuse to accept God's own testimony, which is his own word. And that is the battle we have today with most so-called Christendom. The claim to believe God's word, but refuse to accept what God has said about his son. They refuse the record which God has given to us from his Bible, God's own word, concerning his son. Then to believe anything contrary to what God has said concerning his son means that you're an unbeliever. And to believe the record that God has given us of his son is to label yourself in your own mind, and to disbelieve the record that God has given us of his son is to label God in your own mind as a liar. And that's a pretty serious charge against God. I'd hate to be standing there at the white throne and call God a liar. Because Jesus told us that to say one word against the Holy Spirit when he comes is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and to call him a liar is the unforgivable sin. Therefore, we must know the record that God has given, the Holy Spirit has given to us, of his son, so that we have a benchmark that tells us if we blaspheme or not. Now, in order to know what this is, we must go to the official record itself, and that is the Holy Scripture and the declaration of the Holy Ghost that came down with a shout, which is the message of this hour. And remember and never forget, William Branham was God's mouthpiece in this hour, and he told us, my ministry is to declare him. And the word declare means to make known formally, or officially, to state emphatically or authoritatively, to affirm, to reveal or to make manifest, to show, to make a full statement of, and that is exactly what the record of God is. It is God's testimony of his son. It is God's account, the information and the facts, especially in writing, that gives us as a means of preserving that knowledge. And so we read in the scriptural record, John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And what does this record tell us? That the Son cannot do until the Father shows him to do. Then how can he be his own Father? In John 12:49, Jesus said, for I have not spoken of myself. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. In other words, I'm just an echo. I'm just echoing what the Father says. And if Jesus can receive a commandment from the Father, then the Son of God is not sovereign. He is not independent. He is not omniscient, nor is he omnipotent. In John 7:16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So if his doctrine is not even his, then he is not the author, is he? I mean, is he the author? Absolutely not. He says, it's not mine. Well, John 5:30 says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. How? He says, you have not neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Now notice he even gave up his own will, which is his own purpose and his own ability to make a choice for himself. In John 6:38, he says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Jesus tells us where he came from. He came from heaven. You see? Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And if he is a son, or if he is his own father, then who was he obedient to? John 8:17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself. I'm one. And the other, the Father that sent me, beareth witness of me. Now the statement clearly distinguishes that there's two persons who are bearing witness. The Son and the Father. In John 14:10, the words that I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Here Jesus tells us who's doing the works. Then in John 14:12, when he says, the works that I do, shall you do also. Who's going to do the works? God's going to do the works. So when the works of God are done, it doesn't matter who the vessel is. It's God doing it. As Brother Vail always taught me, he said, get your eyes off the vessel. And I do. I don't care who God does it through. When God laid his hands on Christina when she was 3 years old, God used the hands. And those hands were a 4-year-old child. And that child prayed for that 3-year-old child. And that child was immediately healed. Of 103 temperature dropped just like that. Who did it? A child. And Jesus said, unless you be as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So we need to humble down and just trust God. If God says it, just believe it. He says in John 8:17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. It's very clear there. John 14:10, the words that I speak not of myself. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 5:17, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And here we see that he was dependent upon the Father to show him what work he must perform. So God gave him vision. Now, I'm not saying that God gives vision to every person that does John 14:12. God can speak to your heart. He can tell you to do this, do that. You know, sons of God are led by what? The Spirit of God. So if the Spirit of God leads you to lay hands on someone and that person gets healed, who's doing the healing? God's doing the healing. But who led? God led. So then who did the healing? God did the healing. What did you do? You're a conduit. So John 14:12, he's only telling us that you've become a conduit. He said, I've been a conduit, but I'm going to my Father. But God needs a conduit here. So I'm leaving this with you. It's your responsibility. That the things that I do, you're going to do also if you're a believer. Amen. And if you're not a believer, you're going to say, who needs Mark 16? Who needs John 14:12? Huh? It just shows they're not believers. I'm sorry, they're unbelievers. It's disgraceful the way men are acting today. Saying, they're trying to take us back to Mark 16. Well, praise God for Mark 16. The ones who say it the loudest are the ones who need the Mark 16 the most. Now, William Branham, prophet of God, and God's mouthpiece to us in this hour, said, he did not believe like the oneness believed, and that Jesus and God were one like your fingers one. And he said that Jesus was a dual being, and he said that there are two concerning the Father and the Son. And he said that all sons have beginnings. And he said that Jesus could not be his own Father. And he said that the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. And he said that God indwelt the Son at the River Jordan and left him in Gethsemane. So we have 8 definitive statements that the Holy Spirit has recorded for us in this hour on magnetic tape. And if you do not believe the record or the recording or the record record, which is a testimony. In fact, the first ones were on records. All right. Which is a testimony of the Holy Spirit. You've made God out to be a liar. And if you do not believe God, then what does that make you? Now, there are many who are claiming to follow this message that are nothing more than blasphemers. And there's many Pentecostals out there who have blasphemed the name of William Branham. They've blasphemed God in doing so. Because Jesus said, if you don't believe whom I send, you don't believe me. And he said, and if you believe me, you believe the one that sent me. You see? Now, there are many who claim, well, anyway, they become reprobate concerning the truth, which means they cannot receive the truth. I remember one man, I quoted him a statement of Brother Branham concerning the coming, before the coming. And he said, I don't believe it. Another man told me that Brother Branham was wrong when he said that God left Jesus in Gethsemane because the scripture didn't say it. I asked him where he got his vindication from. You all know the story. I'm not going to get into it tonight. But I showed him the scripture and he said, I still don't believe it. I said, that's because you're an unbeliever. Then he thought I was being cruel because I said he's an unbeliever. I said, no. I said, you told me you don't believe that. Makes you an unbeliever. I mean, they want to have their cake and eat it too. I'm sorry, you can't do it. Either have the cake or you eat it. Unless you got a Xerox machine, you can just pop them out. I don't think we have any Xerox machines that make cakes. If we did, it should be a lot easier on Sister Sarah. All right. So I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, but if the shoe fits, you'd better wear it. And if you say that you don't believe the record that God has laid down in the Scripture, that are replete with evidence showing the difference between Father and Son, and you still choose to disbelieve it, then you are in effect saying that you do not believe God and you are better and you know better than God does concerning His Son. And to me, there could be nothing more arrogant than for a person to deny vindicated truth and think they know better. From the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Brown said, he said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. No one could read that any plainer. They said, why don't you show us the Father and it'll satisfy. Jesus, John 14 and 8. He said, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you've seen my Father. As a lady once jumped up, she said, well, Brother Branham, she said, the Father and Son are one, just like you and your wife are one. I said, oh, no, they're not. I said, do you see me? She said, yes. I said, do you see my wife? She said, no. I said, then you're not the same kind of one. Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. The Father dwelleth in me. My wife don't dwell in me. See, They are one in every way. They are one. From John 5:28, he said, "Marvel not at this hour, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear and judge, my judgment is just." Why? "Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." There you have it. Jesus can judge because God, his Father, knows that he will only judge what God has already judged. He said, "I have not come to do my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." Then he says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." You know, why can't people believe the simple, unadulterated message God has given us? Heard a minister the other night. You know, where the scripture says the Father of glory. The scripture says that, you know, that the Father will give unto us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of him. That God himself comes down, the Lord himself comes down with a shout. He said, the mother comes down with a shout. Well, I was walking through Home Depot today, and it struck up a conversation because I had on my little Marine Corps hat. And an ex-Marine comes up, and we start talking. And then he mentioned something about, you know, we got to talking, and then he said something about, well, he said, I've heard some people today believe that God is their mother. So, it's, you know, they don't realize they're being touched by a demon spirit. And it goes throughout the Pentecostal and even the Baptist. Years ago, in 1990, going down to Houston for some meetings, we heard on the radio, they were talking about God as a mother. Then we find out in that same era, within a few weeks of that, the Wesleyan Church, you know, the Methodist Church, they got rid of all attributes of he in the song. So it now became it. They don't want to offend the women. And it's gotten to the notions of just complete insanity and stupidity. Brother Branham said that there wouldn't be any insane people except those that have the mind of Christ. And you can see it. The people are insane what they're preaching. Well, anyway, in verse 36, we find out who the witness is. Jesus is speaking about, and if Jesus is consistent in what he's been telling them, then it has to be his Father that he's speaking about, as we see in John 5:36. "But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him you believe not." Now, let's stop for a moment and look at another scripture that Jesus is speaking of this judging. Let's turn to John 8:16. "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am my Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is the Father? And Jesus answering said, Ye neither know him, ye neither know me, nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." Notice the words Jesus is saying. He says, "I am not alone." Now that speaks of another. How many could stand in this room and say, "I'm not alone," except there's somebody else in the room? Oh yeah, me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. No, if I'm not alone, I'm not alone. There's somebody with me. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, "I am not alone. I am the Father that sent me. I'm here, and the Father that sent me, he's here too. I'm one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me." Now, if Jesus considered himself to be one with God in that way, why would he speak these words? But they could not see his Father because they did not understand what he's talking about. And so they looked for one that cannot be seen. And they missed seeing that he was living in his Son. Now, I'm getting back to John 14, verse 8. We read, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father.
And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father who's dwelling in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am with the Father, in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Obviously, from what we've seen so far, Jesus is not saying here that he and his Father are one like your fingers one. But what he's saying is that the same word that is in the Father is abiding in him, and that makes him one with the Father. And Brother Branham further clarifies this in his sermon, Show Us the Father and It'll Satisfy. He says, now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Well, Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. It says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. In other words, you see the Father expressing himself through his Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that the Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal virgin, the mortal virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people. See, well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now, he said, when you see me, you see my Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? How more plain can you get? Again, in his sermon, he swore by himself. We can find William Branham clarifying this, that this is what was meant by Jesus when he spoke to Philip. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father is in me. He said, show us the Father now, Philip said. Show me the Father and it'll satisfy me. He said, Philip, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. And why do you say, show me the Father? I and my Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that does the works. It's him that dwells in me. He's the one that does the works. Oh my. How could I tell a man what was wrong with him? How could I tell him what his future will be 10 years from now or what he was 40 years ago? It isn't me. Hallelujah. It's him that lives in me. That come down, that through his blood brought me in fellowship with him. Hallelujah. How could my hands do anything by healing the sick? It hasn't got a bit of power. It's not me, but it's him that dwells in here that does it. And I'd like to ask you, when God said take charge of that meeting, and that storm was something that was supernatural. I mean, it wasn't supernatural. It was the devil doing it. But it couldn't take a natural man to do anything about that storm, build up a bigger fortress, put on a thicker roof. He said, take charge of the meeting. And when I stepped forward from that up to the platform and I asked the brothers to bow our heads and I committed it to prayer and I said, Father, I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God. I didn't do it because I'm a big shot or think I'm a big shot. Because if I would have gone up there as a big shot, God would have made me fall flat on my face and nothing would have happened. But I went in obedience to God. He said, take charge of the meeting. What's my example? Jesus took charge. William Branham took charge. I'm another son. I'm a little son. I'm a lot smaller son. Brother Branham said, Jesus had the full ocean. He said, I have a teaspoon. Listen, if I have just a little drop in the teaspoon, not even a drop, if I have just a little sperm, which you can put 300 sperm on the head of a pin, if I have just that little, I still get part of God in me. And I went with that little part of God in me as a son of God. And I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I know you're the prince of power of the air. That's what you are. But I said, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. And it stopped. Now, show me what verse of scripture that was. I'll tell you, it was John 14:12. It wasn't Mark 16. Mark 16 was healing, laying hands on the sick. It was John 14:12. When Brother Bosworth preached and the people were healed in their seat, that was not Mark 16. He didn't lay hands on them. That was John 14:12. When he found the same results when he was preaching over the airwaves, and people were healed right in their chair at home, listening to the Word of God. That's John 14:12. Who did the works? Jesus said, it's not me doing the works, it's my Father that sent me. Believe the works, then you believe God. Amen. If you can't believe the one who sent, I won't say it. I just won't say it. Well, I'm going to say it. You're an unbeliever. If you can't believe that God will do these things, you're an unbeliever. If you take one scripture out and say it's not for this hour, you're an unbeliever. Brother Brown said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. The entire New Testament speaks of this hour. That's a vindicated prophet. And you come along and say, well, that doesn't apply in this hour? Hogwash. That's clap, trap, and balderdash, to borrow a few phrases. You understand what I'm talking about. And since there is a witness, let me share one more quote with you where William Branham further elucidates my point that Jesus and God were one by reason of the Father abiding in Him, directing Him by His Word. Now, let me ask you this. Who discerned those people? Was it William Branham? Oh, yeah, it was a gift. It wasn't a gift. I'm going to tell you something. It's not a gift. It's the giver. Where did John say, all gifts come from where? The Father of light. The same God who gives rain to the just gives rain to the unjust. And you know what? He doesn't sit back there and say, well, he's not my kid. I'm not going to give him any blessings. He says, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I'll bless whoever I want to bless. And I'll curse whoever I want to curse. And I'll give rain to the just and to the unjust. It's not gifts, brother, sister. It's a giver. Either we have the giver still on the scene or we don't have the giver still on the scene. Either Jehovah Rapham is still on the scene or he's not. Either God the healer is still on the scene or he's not. Oh, he took flight because the man's in the grave. William Branham. I don't think so. God's the immortal king. Again, from a sermon he swore by himself, we find Brother Branham clarifying that this is what he meant by Jesus when he said to Philip, he said, I and my Father are one, my Father is in me. Said, show us the Father now, Philip said. Show me the Father and it'll satisfy me. Said, Philip, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. Said, when you see me, you see my Father. And why say, show me the Father? I and my Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that doeth the works, it's Him that dwells in me. He's the one that does the works. Oh, brother. And since three is a witness, let me just share one more quote with you where Brother Branham further elucidates my point that Jesus and God were one by reason that the Father was abiding in Him, directing Him by His Word. From the message conference, Brother Branham said, when he said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father. He dwelleth in me. Me and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. And He did the same works that He did when He dwelt in that body standing there before Abraham. Showing it was the same one. Now, so when I went from that position over there, came to the pulpit, spoke in the name of the Lord, and the same thing happened that happened with William Branham, I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't me doing nothing. I was stepping into the same pattern that he stepped into, which was the pattern of the firstborn son who sat up in the boat and said, peace be still. So who did it? God. Showing what? God's still on the scene. Then what does God do? He comes along the very next year. And he hovers over the tabernacle while we're speaking the same words that William Branham spoke. The same thing that Brother Branham said, that God came over in a three rainbows. And he said to vindicate that what I've been teaching for the last 30 years is the truth. Well, it's interesting because, well, I don't want to make the parallel. I'm a son. He's a son. Jesus is the son. Amen. And since three is a witness, let me just share, as I said, one more quote. He says, when he said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Me and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. He did the same works that he did when he was dwelt in the body of Abraham. As it was with Moses, Brother Branham said, when Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed in image of the Father. And in him dwelt all the richness of God dwelling in him here. Looking up, and he said, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me. Just as Jehovah, Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the expressed image of Him. He was God shaped out here, all the powers of God formed into and put into a human body. And He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. So when I stood at that pulpit and I spoke those words, who did the works? Oh, you say, well, Brian Kosorik is a big mouth, so he just blew and the sky opened up. Hogwash. Can't people see the same God speaks through men? Who was it that when that little girl, 4 years old, laid hands on that little girl, 3 years old, and God healed her? Oh, God wouldn't do that with children. He wouldn't. Jesus said, unless you be like little children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. These proud people that think that, you know, they don't even talk to little children. Jesus said, suffer not the little ones to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. When have we gotten so proud that we can't step down and stoop down and talk eye to eye with the children? From the message gifts, he said, now, in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had all the Spirit of God in him. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. That's the reason that people couldn't understand him. Sometimes he'd say something, might look like he'd turn around and say something different. It was him speaking, then the Father speaking. See, they were, and even the disciples could not understand him. All right, and at the last, they were, and even the disciples couldn't understand him. And they said, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly. Now we believe by this that you know all things. No man needs to teach you." And Jesus said, "Do you now believe?" After all that time, they couldn't get it. Why? That sometimes he say this and then say that. It was him and the Father speaking. Now notice closely. Now, God dwelling in Christ used his voice to speak by. Jesus said in his tabernacle, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise." Is that right? Said John 5:19. Then he did not do nothing within himself. No prophet ever did anything within himself until God first showed him what to do. What a mistake Moses made when he went out without the vision of God and smote down the Egyptian, thought he'd liberate them with his hand because he thought that he had a lot of faith and he could do it because he was called for the job. No matter how much you're called for the job, God has to do the leading. See? He failed of all his schooling and his military mind and his training as an Egyptian leader. But yet he failed because God had a program and we've got to work according to God's program. No matter what we do, how smart we are, we've got to humble ourselves and work according to God's program. Amen. So he failed and God had to keep him another 40 years to educate him. So what it was? That he must forget himself and it's not him, it was God. That's why I'm not standing here and saying, "Hey, I'm proud because God used my body." He's used every one of your body at one time or other. And if you don't believe it, then I feel sorry for you. Because God even used a jackass to talk to Balaam and give Balaam a message. And if God can use a jackass to give Balaam a message, he can use us. I won't put us on the same level as a jackass, but you know what I'm talking about. From Supersign, Brother Branson said, "When he was here on earth, he proved that he was God. Prove that God was in him because the signs of God followed him. He said, 'If I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, if you don't believe me, believe the works, the sign.' Emmanuel, I and my Father are one. My Father hath sent me, and as he sends me, so send I you. The Father that sent me is with me. He's in me and doing the works of himself." It's God in flesh. From Show Us the Father, he said, "The works that I do shall you do also." And seeing the same results by human beings so submitted to God until the Holy Spirit can work through those human beings, just like the Holy Spirit worked through Jesus, who just has confessed that, "I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. It's not my works, it's his works." See, he was so submitted to God. And the reason why they're not seeing it in the churches is because the ministry and the people are not submitted to God. It's just that plain simple. Humble down. Humble down. When you walk in the place that God has placed you to walk, and you shut your mouth, and you become obedient to God, and do only and say only what God has given you to say, then you start watching, and God will start using your body. But until then, you're just flapping in the breeze. From the Laodicean church age, Brother Branham said that, he said, all they've got left in Laodicea, there's no more power. He said, all they've got left is the ability to argue. I'm going to bring that out Sunday. Revelation chapter 1. He was a true and faithful witness of God to God's eternal word. He was the word, was God's word. And being the word, he was a prophet. For the word of God flowed through him. He say only the things I can do nothing within myself but what the Father shows me to do. Not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I and my Father are one. My Father is in me, said Jesus, the man, the tabernacle. From surgery we would see Jesus. I and my Father are one, not three. We are one. God is in him. God speaks through him. He's no more his own, but he's God's voice through human lips. Hallelujah. From surgery we would see Jesus. Jesus said, argue with him, not with me. I'm just saying what he said. I and my Father are one. It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father, he dwelleth in me. If you don't believe me, believe the Word, because he is the Word. From question and answers on image of the beast. And God came down and dwelt in his Son, Christ Jesus, making him God on earth. When Thomas said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices," he said, "I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, why sayest thou, show us the Father? Why? He said, when you see me, you see the Father. I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. From he swore by himself, 1954, Brother Branson, God himself living in this, making a tabernacle, and he dwelt in Christ. There's God walking around. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father is in me. Said, show us now the Father. Philip said, show me the Father and it'll satisfy me. He said, Philip, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why say, show me the Father? I and my Father are one. My Father living in me now. It's not me that doeth the works. It's him that dwelleth in me that doeth the works. Now listen, I'm catching something here and I just wanted to say this. You say, well, he was different because he was the immaculate born Son of God. Now listen, Brother Branham said, how many believe that God worked through Paul? How many believe God worked through Brother Branham? Do you know Brother Branham said he was the chiefest of sinners? You know he said that? You know Paul said the same thing? Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? Brother Branham, Paul said that I've got to be crucified daily. It's a good thing Paul didn't have a wife to remind him all the time. Because then he wouldn't have had victory. Let me just tell you something. Paul, chiefest of sinners, had to die daily, had to crucify himself daily, had to cover constantly that flesh under the blood. And yet God used that vessel. William Branham, chiefest of sinners, he called himself. His wife caught him in a lie to the lawyer. He went down to pray. God wouldn't pray. God wouldn't hear his prayer. Had to go back, call the lawyer, make it right. Then God could open up. Almost killed three boys as a 13-year-old. Wanted to do things that were not right. God wouldn't let him do it. Said, don't you ever drink, smoke, or defile yourself in any way. It wasn't that the intention wasn't there. Now listen, if the intention was there, it was done in his heart. Jesus said, if you even look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. The mistake that Balaam made was he looked down at the sin of Israel and he didn't see the pillar of fire in their midst. And he said, how could that children of Israel be of God? He didn't see the pillar of fire in their midst. He looked down at their sinful ways. Now, if Brother Branham said, I have to pray daily and repent daily, how much more should we? So, brother, sister, don't look at the fact that you've got to repent daily. Look at the fact that God made a promise. He said, he that believeth. And then he gave us 19 promises if you're a believer. God don't look at the outward flesh. Jesus said himself, He said, judge not according to appearance. That's the outward. But judge righteous judgment. In other words, judge. What's righteous? Rightly wise. Judge that which is right. You see, judge by the word. Hebrews chapter 1. And listen, even though Jesus was born without sin, they still crucified him in the flesh. They still crucified his flesh. They still tried to destroy him. He without sin, and they still try to call him a sinner. Yeah, they did. And they said he was born out of wedlock. Thomas said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. Said, I've been so long with you, and you don't know me? Now, this is a guy who'd been with him 3 years. Said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why say, show us the Father? I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. I'm just a tabernacle called the Son. The Father dwells in me. Not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwells in me. He's the one doing the works, not me. So when I went to that pulpit and I spoke in the name of the Lord and that thing stopped, who did the works? Okay, what was I? Just a tabernacle. That's it. David said, I'd rather be a doormat in the tabernacle of God, in the house of God, than to dwell in the tents of the rich. Let me just be a footmat in the house of God. Hey, if I'm a tabernacle, if I'm a vessel, whatever kind of vessel God wants to make me be, I'm just so happy to be that. from Show Us the Father. He said, God in His Son. Do you believe that? That He was? He looked like God. He acted like God. He said that He was God. He cried like God. He healed like God. He died like a man. And He rose like God. He was God manifested in the flesh. God was in His Son. Do you believe it? God was in His universe. You believe that? God is in His Word. You believe it. God is in His Son. You believe it? Could you see Him in Christ, Jesus? Jesus said, when you see Me, you see the Father. Why sayest thou, show Me the Father? God was in the Son, reconciling the world to Himself. Now, God in His universe, you believe it? God in His Word, you believe it? God in His Son, you believe it? Well, what about God in His sons? God in His church. God in His people. Either you believe that God is in you, or you are a reprobate. From the unveiling of God, Jesus said once, when you see Me, you see the Father. See, God and His Word is one. Now you understand, when the Word is manifested, what is it? Right? See, Jesus said, search the Scriptures you think you have. You believe in God, believe also in Me. If I do not the works of My Father, then don't believe Me. But if I do the works, and I and My Father are one, when you see Me, you've seen the Father. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father God, because the Word is the Father, the Word is God, and the Word was made manifest in Him, is God Himself taking His own Word and manifesting it among believers. Nothing can make it live but believers, just believers. Nothing can make it believers, He said, not believer, believers. That Sunday in 1997, when I saw the people sick and I prayed and I asked God to change the weather by 30 degrees and within 2 hours, a big, huge thunderstorm came through. Wasn't forecasted that we're supposed to have another 6 days of 102 degree temperature. And they came through, and we have witnesses in this church. And God turned the temperature down 30 degrees. Now, was that Brian Kasorek? No, that was God. You see, John 14:12, Jesus said, you know, He says, the works that I do, I'm going to My Father. My Father loves to heal. And so the things that I'm doing, He's got a continuum, so He's going to use you. So ask, verse 13 now, so ask anything in My name, and I'll do it. For the glory of My Father. Now, I ask you this. What verse of Scripture was to change that weather again? John 14:12. Doesn't have to happen every day. Doesn't have to be in every service. If you look in the apostles, there was maybe two or three times Peter, James, and John, or Peter and John, somebody was healed by their shadow. A few other times, Peter laid hands on the sick; they were healed. You didn't see hundreds of times. You didn't see like Jesus, and no man had it like William Branham, not even Jesus. But it's going to be there. It may be one time in your lifetime that God calls upon you to do an act of obedience, and you follow through in that act of obedience, and God manifests that act of obedience, showing He's the one that told you to do it. So we don't major on the minor. But we do major on this, that there is one God, and He had a Son, and He had sons. And the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and God will adopt those that are the right kind of son. From the masterpiece, He said, there is only there in His own image, reflecting God. For He said in St. John 14, when you see Me, you see the Father. And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God. The Word was hewed out and reflected what the Word was at the beginning. Him and the Word reflected in the masterpiece in His own likeness. God back again in His own likeness. The Word form being reflected in the image of the man, the masterpiece. All the prophets had flaws. All the ones was a portion. But here at last, coming up through the through that, finally comes the masterpiece, the perfect one. No fault in Him at all. So perfect, reflected of the Builder Himself. His own image was reflected in His work. God and Christ were one, insomuch until He put His own Spirit into Him. And then even the image and the Builder became one. God and His sculptor work, His masterpiece. When Moses was in the work of Michelangelo, was a sculptor, a sculpture work that was dead because it had been made out of stone. But here the master builder, when he got his handiwork perfected, he stepped into it. And from Hebrews part 2, Brother Bram said, questions and answers. Please explain the Trinity. How can the Son sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding to the Father, if they are not two persons? Well, beloved friend, that's a revelation. If Jesus said, I and My Father are one, then how can they be two? See? Now, they're not two. A woman once said unto me, and I was explaining that, said, you and your wife are two, yet you're one. I said, but God and His Son is different from that. See? I said, you see me? Yes. Do you see my wife? No. I said, then the Father and Son's different. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. See? The Father and Son, the Father was Almighty Jehovah God dwelling in a tabernacle called Jesus Christ, which was the anointed Son of God. Jesus was a man. God is a spirit. And no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared Him what He was. His personality, His being, His deity, whatever He was God. He was nothing less or nothing more than God, yet He was a man. He was a man, a house that God dwelt in. That's right, He was God's dwelling place. And I'm going to ask the question, if the Holy Ghost is in His church, won't the church act like, talk like, live like, and do the things that the Holy Ghost does? Otherwise, forget it. Go eat and drink and be merry. Go stuff yourself till you become so fat that you can't even walk. And you die of a big cathartic crunch in your heart. If the Holy Ghost is living in you, then start acting like it. Quit mouthing off. Shooting your mouth off. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't shoot His mouth off. The Holy Ghost is timid. He's like a dove. I notice that Brother Branham pointed out that we are not talking about two physical beings, like a man and a wife who are physical beings. But he explained that there is one that was a man. And we know that to be a man you must have a body, soul, and spirit. But in that man that was fully man, indwelt the God, the Father, who is the Spirit. Thus making them one by the indwelling. But notice in this next quote how Brother Branham is more specific and shows that the oneness of God and His Son is not like husband and wife. And he is more clear as to why it is different. From the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me. No one could read that any plainer. They said, why don't you show us the Father? And it'll satisfy. John 14:8. He said, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. As a lady once jumped up, she said, Brother Branham, she said, the Father and Son are just like you and your wife are one. I said, oh no, they're not. I said, do you see me? She said, yes. I said, do you see my wife? She said, no. I said, then they're not the same. She said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. The Father dwelleth in me. My wife don't dwell in me. See, they are one in every way they are one. Therefore, if you do not believe the Godhead as in the way that I've shown you of God's very own record and His witness, then you're calling God a liar and thus you are a blasphemer. Because God came down, that pillar of fire came down and He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased or pleased to dwell in. That's God's record. That this one down here was His Son. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You. Because as we study the Scriptures, O God, that speak of the believer, he that believeth, we find these many blessings, O God, and realizing that if we truly do believe, then we believe the record that You gave of Your Son. That He is indeed Your Son. And if He is the firstborn Son, as the record states, He is the firstborn Son, then we know that there's other sons. In fact, we know He's the firstborn in a vast family of brothers. So, Father, we claim, because we know that what You have done in our heart, that You are the preeminence, and that, as Brother Branham said, Christ is the center of the revelation. The center of the revelation is not the wife, it's not the husband, it's not me, myself, and I. The center of the revelation is Jesus Christ. It's not this church, it's not any church, it's not any movement, it's not Brother Vail, it's not William Branham. The center of the revelation is Jesus Christ. And so, Father, help us to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For Your Son Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We thank You for Your word, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. We ask that You would add to it and add abundantly to our flesh, O God, that You would give us the victory and give us manifestation in this flesh, Your promises. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee